Welcome back to Be Unemployable. It's your host, Maggie Isley. And today, we're venturing into an area that's both deeply personal and interesting AF, man. We're talking about the mental health journey of entrepreneurs, myself included. And specifically, we're focusing on an experience that isn't often discussed. It's my first ketamine infusion and how ketamine could play a role in mental health treatment. So buckle up, Buttercup, because we're about to embark on an uncharted yet enlightening journey. So imagine yourself, and by the way, so is my verbal crutch. So imagine yourself standing in front of one of those like funhouse mirrors, right? Try not to have any kind of clown trauma. It's the ones that warp your reflection into all sorts of unusual shapes. And that's kind of what entrepreneurship can sometimes feel like. It's an often distorted reflection of the real world. The highs can be a lot higher and the lows can be a lot lower. And the in-betweens can twist and turn in ways you would never predict. The thrill is what really draws us in. But the harsh realities are, they could be so jarring if they're not managed appropriately. Entrepreneurship is not just about starting your business or launching a startup. It's about managing your thoughts, your emotions, your state of mind. The entrepreneurial world is rife with stressors. Uncertainty about the future, financial instability, working long hours, high expectations, and even the loneliness that can come from being, you know, at the helm. It's about these stressors that they can lead us to a variety of mental health issues such as anxiety, depression, burnout. According to TechCrunch, founders are 2 times more likely to suffer from depression. We are 6 times more likely to have ADHD, 3 times more likely to suffer from substance abuse, 10 times more likely to have bipolar, 2 times more likely to have inpatient psychiatric hospitalization, and 2 times more likely to have suicidal ideations. So before we get into this, I need to remind you that I am sharing my story and my understanding of these things. I am not a mental health or medical professional. I am a coach. I am an entrepreneur, and I am a patient. I have been dealing with depression at varying levels since I was 9 years old. I'm diagnosed with MDD, which is also known as clinical depression. I'm neurodivergent, which you all know. And I have PTSD. I also, of course, have generalized anxiety disorder, which I feel like I know that seems like I'm diminishing it, and I'm not. But when it comes to my list of things, I can get through the anxiety. I've been through 3 therapists recently. My depression has been getting worse. I'm considered treatment resistant. And nearly a third of people with MDD do not respond to meds. It's frustrating, it's disheartening, and it's how I ended up having a ketamine eligibility assessment the day after my 42nd birthday. I was like, happy birthday to me. I gotta tell you, the assessment took nearly 2 hours. I had an appointment booked 1.5 hours after my appointment time and I missed it. I was unsurprisingly approved for infusions. I scheduled all 6 infusions with the people at the front desk. But before I go further, I have another disclaimer for you. It's important to note that ketamine infusion is typically considered a last resort treatment. It's for treatment-resistant depression due to its relatively high cost and the need for specialized medical professionals to supervise the entire thing. It's typically reserved for those of us who have not responded well to other treatment options. So, ketamine infusions are basically, they involve administering that controlled substance through an IV in a clinic with a nurse. She's there the whole time. The infusion lasts about 40 minutes, and then it has a saline flush after. The first infusion, my first appointment, took longer because to get started, you do a drug test, and then you have a physical. And Sean dropped, so let me backtrack. Sean dropped me off at my appointment. And then every time you show up, you fill out your scales. Like you're, you know, do you have no interest in doing things? And there's one for every diagnosis you have. So I did one for my MDD. I did one for my anxiety. I did one for my PTSD. And then once they have your scales, it's really just to track. I mean, it's self-reporting, but it's to track how you're doing and the progress that you're making. So you fill out your scales, you pay your portion. Insurance is pretty strict about this. My insurance has been very good about it, but that's not true for everyone. When it comes to cost, you're going to want to find a clinic near you if you're interested in this. But I go on later to explain. I want to make sure that you understand I have links for you to read through and if that's something you're considering. So I paid my portion, which is a couple hundred per infusion. Then I went back. I did my drug test, and then I had my physical. Now, I had a migraine, so and I didn't take any migraine meds because, like, I didn't know what I was allowed to do, because they send you a list. They sent me a text with, like, everything, like, hey, don't eat, like, a heavy meal before you come because, you know, you might be nauseous. They don't know. It's your first time. They're like, don't have a stomach full of water since you haven't eaten, and like all these rules. And it's not constricting. It's just like informational. So I show up with a migraine because I was afraid to take my migraine meds. I took my preventative, but I was afraid to take, like, you know, the one that actually gets rid of it. And they're like, okay, well, you know, they built through my insurance. So they're like, we can give you Toradol. I'm like, fantastic. Because I can't see out of my left eye. And I settle in, and I brought my own blanket. I brought my own eye mask that has headphones built in. It's from mantasleep.com. I'll actually put the link to it in the show notes. It's going to be an affiliate link in the show notes. It's my favorite thing in the whole wide world. Like, I can't tell you. It's a splurge, but it's worth it. It's better than, like, any of the ones I got off Amazon. And I have Manta masks without the headphones built in, and I still swear by this one. I brought a Squishmallow. I sleep with Squishmallows. And I have Squishmallows on my couch. Like, I have them everywhere because the filling is just so soft that sometimes I use them behind my head, sometimes I cuddle them. It's a sensory thing for me. And then they brought me water because when they did my drug test, they're like, you're very dehydrated. And I was like, oh, okay. So after everything, and the physical, by the way, was like a normal physical that you would have at a doctor's office. They have a doctor, they have a nurse practitioner, they have nurses. Like, it's a full-on clinic. So they start the infusion. And she's like, you know, can I get you anything before we start? And I was like, no, like, leave me alone. And you're in a recliner, and I'm all set up, and I put my thing on, and I had music on. I started, if you have Spotify, they will make mixes for you, you know, on Spotify. So I did the Tranquil mix that Spotify made for me, and I started with that, and then I did, you know, the whole ketamine experience. And I'm not going to go into how the actual experience was, because it's different for everybody. And it doesn't work for everyone. Now, for me, it worked. Like, you can talk during it. Like, you can have a conversation with a therapist, with a nurse. You can have, you can dive deep into things. I can't tell you how good it worked. It worked so well. And I knew we had switched to saline for the flush when the voices in my head, or like when the imagery started saying hurtful things again. And I was like, oh, I literally took off my mask and I was like, are we on saline? And she was like, oh, you know? And I was like, yeah. I was like, that's like, I'm not listening to this anymore. I don't want to do that. And when I took off my mask and it wasn't like I wasn't in the dark anymore, the voices shut up. And I was like, ooh, this is great. So it was wild. But I felt stoned after, like, when I went to go leave, Sean drove me home. So, but when I stood up to go leave the room, she grabbed my arm. She was like, you are wobbly. And I was like, oh, that sounds about right. When I got home, I sat on the couch and I was not capable of doing anything. I just sat there. I didn't need any kind of distraction, which is brand new for me. Like, normally I might not be able to do anything, but I still need to be distracted. Whether I'm scrolling on a phone, whether like I'm just sitting on Midjourney, you know, ranking things, like whatever I'm doing, I need to be distracted. And I didn't. And then I fell asleep shortly after. And I had no nightmares. Now, I do have a prescription for pills that get rid of my nightmares. And I didn't need to take it. I haven't taken it since my ketamine infusions. And it's been a couple sleeps. I woke up and I feel much closer to my normal. I'm not quite there. But I have had a couple anxiety-inducing things, and I've been able to calm myself down. I don't feel like I did when it comes to the... I'm still not quite there, but I'm not dwelling as much as I was. I can tell that it's starting to wear off, and I will explain this, because it takes 6 infusions, and then you get boosters. So let's talk about all of this. Now, this is going to be me doing my best to explain my understanding of how ketamine works. So I'm going to link articles, including studies published in medical journals. Then I'm going to link that all in the show notes. And I suggest reading them if you're considering treatment for yourself. Traditionally, ketamine's role, it's anesthesia involving temporary like numbness of the senses, and that allows surgeons to perform their procedures without causing any pain. But when it comes to mental health, it's showing completely different potentials. So with depression, the brain's normal communication pathways, like the neurons, which it's a network of nerve cells, which is what neurons are, they become disrupted. And these neurons communicate through chemical signals. And when something blocks or interferes with the signals, it can result in the symptoms we associate with mental health issues, right? I say right like you're here. Lizzie, listener, are you here? It should also be noted that in a study from Columbia University Irving Medical Center, I am going to link that, it found that the autistic brain has extra neural pathways, which is likely why we're easily overwhelmed and more sensitive to touch, sound, like everything. So ketamine works by temporarily blocking a type of receptor in the brain called NMDA, the NMDA receptor. And that plays a crucial role in these like neural communications. So, that disruption can stimulate the brain to form new neural connections. It effectively allows it to rewire itself, for like lack of a better term. For individuals like me with mental health conditions, it alleviates the symptoms. It can result in potential like mood lifts, reduction in anxiety, a better quality of life overall. So that's my story with ketamine and its, you know, potential to transform mental health. But let me talk a little bit about ADHD. As of now, ketamine is not a mainstream treatment option for ADHD. Much of the clinical use and research surrounding ketamine focuses on its rapid-acting antidepressant effects. But this is where it gets interesting. While ketamine isn't specifically recognized as a treatment for ADHD, some of its impacts on the brain hint that it is potentially beneficial for those of us with ADHD. So we talked about ketamine's effect by blocking the NMDA, right? The NMDA receptor. So that rewiring has shown promise with people with ADHD. Many of us with ADHD have comorbid conditions with mental health, such as depression and anxiety. And when we're treated for those conditions, it indirectly improves ADHD. And that's what I'm experiencing right now. Like, I had a quiet brain yesterday. Today it's getting louder. Because the way that the treatment works is you get 6 infusions and then you get boosters every month or two when you start to feel like it might be wearing off. So that doesn't mean like if you have ADHD, you should rush out and seek ketamine treatment. Like, it's promising, but it's in its infancy. Clinical trials and research are still required to determine safety and, you know, if it works, like efficacy. But I will link all those articles so that way you can read through it. But if you have treatment-resistant depression, that is something that you can definitely look at with your doctor and see if it's something that works for you in your current condition. For me, it's already doing things. I have another infusion this week, and then I have 2 next week and 2 the week after, and then I'm on a booster schedule. It is expensive. It makes it harder for people to get, and that's really unfortunate, in my opinion. It bums me out that it's not more accessible, but I know that my clinic offers like a no credit check credit for people who can't afford it. And they also offer Afterpay, which I didn't see until I paid. Like, it showed up on the little credit card thing. They were like, we have Afterpay. And I was like, wow, that's cool. I mean, you still have to come up with the money, but like, that's cool. Like, if you were just doing your boosters, that's pretty cool. So I know, and if you're in Ohio, my clinic is pretty sweet. And yeah, that's everything that I have to say about it. If you have questions for me, feel free to message me. I don't know how fast I'll get back to you. I'm going to be real honest, because I don't feel the pressure that I have in the past to get back to people immediately. I am getting back to my clients immediately, but everyone else, I am a little slower because the pressure of perfectionism isn't there, which is wild. I don't know how to tell you how wild it is to not feel like I have to do everything immediately. I woke up yesterday and I cleaned a little bit and then I did a bunch of work. And I worked for like 6 or 8 hours without even thinking about it. And then, like, I took some calls and then I went to bed because I was tired and I didn't take a no nightmare pill. That's what I call it. And I didn't have nightmares. And then I slept for 10 hours, which is a long time. And I woke up, did some stuff, and now I'm here recording this podcast. So it has given me my life back because I spent the last couple weeks sitting and unable to move. Mainly because I had that surgery, but then that tanked my mental health. So yeah, it's been life-changing for me. All right, guys. If there's any topics you want us to cover, let me know. But I gotta tell you that next week, you have an awesome episode coming at you with our monthly social media tips. So that's what to look forward to for next month, or next week, not next month, next week. All right. Talk to you guys later.